Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
Good evening. You're on the air of Waking Up with Linda Mack Shan. It is Fine Dead Friday, and we're going to have some fun today. We have Miss Edwina Putney coming on from H-Town, Houston. She's going to give us some update there. And then, of course, you know there is Aunt G. I'm going to put the disclaimer out now because you know she's full of love, but I don't know what kind of mood she's in. So just be ready for it. And before we get started, you know, when you're dealing with technology, sometimes it malfunctions. So if we happen to have a problem over here and things go not so well and we cut off, I just want to let you know that we will be back on Monday, but we're working through some situations here in the studio. Just want to put it out there. Let me give you your quote for today. And this is the era of youth. Youth do not depend on anyone, nor do they hang on someone else's coattails. I will open the way forward myself. I will advance all. I will see that this is the spirit of the youth and the attitude of true successors who love and cherish all humanity. And I'd like to extend appreciation out there to that youth because, you know, it's been some reforms being put in place this week, and they're moving very, very quickly out there. So those change makers that are on the move, that know how to get it done, I call them my change makers. They're making everything happen. So before we have a winner come on, we're going to sort of give you an update on next week. We'll have Angie coming on Monday. Tuesday, it will be Stephanie and Miyoshi. What's up? Thursday, we'll have Gloria coming on, giving us that wellness and health information. And then Friday, it'll be Find It Out Friday again. If anything happens in between, I'll let you know. And I'll be so glad to speak with that winner because as I was looking at the service on TV, I got homesick, but I could smell that barbecue on those grills down there. And at this time, I can still smell it. Trying to get someone to fly in and bring me a slab or two or a brisket or two, but I'll have to wait and see what I can find here in Los Angeles. So before we get going here, I just want to play this just a little bit of it before Miss Edwina Putney comes on. Miss Edwina Putney, are you on the line with us from H-Town?
I am. Good evening, Linda.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on Find It Friday with us and giving us update. How is the weather there?
Hot.
Okay.
Hot.
I understand
hot.
That. Okay,
but it's not as hot. It's not as hot as what you remember, you know. But it, yeah, okay. We've been up in the 90s, but today I don't think it got as hot, and we haven't had as much humidity.
Okay. Well, you know, the 90s there is like 110. We were hot here for the past 2 days that I did not go out the door. Today it was a little bit cooler. You know, I don't like to move in the heat, even though I know how to move in the heat, and it cracks me up when it gets hot here. Everybody's rushing around, and I'm telling them, please slow down your pace. That will make you sick. In this heat, you have to do almost a crawl. Because we're not used to it, you know, but there we know how to move in it. Well, I'm glad to hear that it wasn't as hot today, but you say 90 to me, it's like telling me it's 110, okay, in Texas.
Okay. Yeah, I understand.
So talk to me about the excitement down there. How, you know, Houston is, I know they're still celebrating. They celebrate for good things, bad things, and all things. But what was tone? What is the tone now that George is there resting and he's back at home? What was that like getting prepared for that, the traffic and the crowds and the things of that nature?
Yeah. It, you know, I wasn't on that side of town, on the southwest side of town, where the funeral was held. But where he is buried is where my mother is buried. So I know, you know, it's straight up Cullen Boulevard by me. And so it was crowded, and people were respectful. I'm not going to say somber, but it was quiet. It was very respectful. You probably saw it on the telecast. People were just packed and line, not packed, but, you know, lined up in large numbers all the way from where the church where they transferred the body, the casket rather, from the hearse to the carriage that drew his carried his body into the cemetery. And it was all along the way. There was no cheering, no loud, no commotion, no protest or anything like that. It was quiet and it was respectful. Made me real proud. It made me tearful, but it also made me proud of Houstonians for showing so much respect to George Floyd. It really did. And that's the way it had been up to the to approaching the funeral. And since the funeral, it's still been respectful and somber. There have been a couple of murals that were drawn on buildings in Third Ward or painted on buildings in Third Ward. Beautiful. One is of George Floyd, and then it has wings, angel wings coming out from him, and it's beautiful. Uh-huh. And people have left candles, and then some people have written in the names of his mother and others. And it's so interesting because some of the residents that live close to that area and that kind of congregate along the store where it's on the side of the store, a lot of the people have taken it upon themselves to become guardians of that mural, and they don't allow people to write anything extra on it or anything, just show respect. A couple of people have tried. And they said, no, that would be disrespectful. So it's all good. And it's had an effect also on the mayor and the city council. They, like same day or the next day, they had drafted some changes that were to be implemented in the Houston Police Department, which, as you know, has had its own share of problems with the black community and policing and so forth. So It has had some positive changes, and people still talk. When you're out and about, people still talk, but it's still very, very respectful. And people are glad that he has become an agent of change. You know, so that moment has led to a movement.
Well, you know, he was the chosen one to do it. It had to get done, but it really changed the flow of humanity, as I want to call it. I don't know if you read what I wrote as far as the summary when we were talking about him growing up in the CUNY homes, and I stated that CUNY homes was called Brick Canyon, and I stated, look at that brick that came out of that canyon, and look at the bridge that it built across the world for humanity. And that's what puts a smile on my face. We know that things will not change overnight. Then persons are saying, well, that's the way it's been. It's always been. Now it's a new day. It is a new beginning. It's not back to the normal. The normal was not getting it. These young adults out here are saying, I had a neighbor. It was so funny. I had to catch my breath because I love them dearly and say, well, you know, you guys, your generation was, y'all was brunching. Okay, I say, well, I say, yeah, we might have been going to brunch, but we was learning how to make those crumpets. I said, let me take you back a little bit. I say, before me, I say, they laid the path and laid their lives down to set up the path. I say, then before me, they found the key and opened up the door. I say, and then it came to me, I walked through the door. So we walked through the door to open the door up so that you can get in there and do what you're doing now. I say, so look at it that way. You have to understand it all. You can't go on it. I said, just like you've torn up the soles of those tennis shoes, I said, I've torn up many soles of many tennis shoes. I've been carrying this banner when I was in my mother's womb, and I haven't rolled it up since. I've just learned how to do it in a different way, but it's like things have to do what they have to do. We know we have all types of people with all types of feeling, with whatever they're going to do, but the change agents will make it happen. They're kind of like a little bit upset because they're saying the focus is going most on the, you know, the police and stuff and taken away from Black Lives Matter, but I don't think so, because it's Black Lives Matter that's spearing up everything. People are trying to find out questions. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. It's a lot of stuff that's moving, but what excites me is each day I hear of another reform that's out there. And as you know, I had City Council Delegate Grace Wu on last night, and once she gets up there in that seat in L.A., it's going to be some more changes because she's that type of lady. You know, she's been around. She's a wonderful person, but she's no nonsense, and she knows the game, so she knows what needs to be changed.
She knows the law, because she said she's an attorney. And so
yes, she is an attorney. She's probate. She does probates and wills, but what brings a smile to my face is that she was assigned to the court for the children, and I knew that warmthness that she carried was a special quality. And I know that those babies was well taken care of. But, yeah, she's out there. She says that it's only maybe four women in offices there. We need more women. I was looking at the mayor. The mayor's from about four cities, African-American females, and, you know, it's just not enough, so everybody needs to step up to the plate. I don't know, maybe I'll put my banner out there. You know, I'm into the policy making and public policy. I don't call myself a politician, but we're all politicians on our life. But the more I get into it, the more I understand it, I understand the more need that's needed. So who knows? You know, we have to get in there and make those changes. But with you coming on with us, I know you've been busy editing books. And when I write my book, will you be my editor, please?
Of course. Of course.
I know you will. I know. I said, oh, she's a busy lady there. And the things that you pointed out to me, I just love it. because sometimes we can move so quickly, but I'm always open for corrections and ideas, and, you know, because we look at things one way, but it's always better when four heads or four eyes are on something. That's why Angie and I, we get along, we kick it. And we bounce stuff back and forth, and, you know, she'll put her input in there, and she has her own beautiful way of giving us reminders and whipping us in shape, and that's what I love so much about her. I love that about her.
Yeah, she has a good spirit. She has a good heart. She really does. And
oh, yeah,
you have
she's a good
to.
Person.
You've always had a good heart, you know. We go way back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, you know, and I pray every day for it not to get frozen, okay? I pray
okay.
every day that my heart remains soft, that it doesn't get hardened and frozen. And sometimes when you go through your ups and downs or your situations, it can easily go that way. But I won't allow it.
It can push you almost to that point. But you have to stay grounded. You have to stay centered, and like you said, protect your heart, because the situation from the times that we've come through segregation here in the, you know, in Houston and in the South and all over, and, you know, on to integration, but still yet reluctant integration, you know. And on through the assassination of President Kennedy and on, you know, and Martin Luther King. We've seen so much and experienced so much, and it would be easy for us to have hardened hearts. Prayer.
Well, you know,
prayer.
It depends on, as I tell people, it's all what you're taught as a child. And if you're taught with in my case, in my family case, and that's a tradition with all children, is that we were always told that we could do just what anybody else could do. So we never had that we couldn't. And we never went looking for it, or we were never stopped when we wanted to do anything. And I'll be talking with people because, see, we're storytellers. And when you grow up in the South, it's a bit different. Because we're, as I say, trained differently to look for different things. And, I mean, it goes across, but it's a little bit different down there. So we stand in the middle of we grow up keeping that balance. So if you've never been taught, you know, about this person, that person, that all people, you know, give them respect, and you demand yours. You don't. It's all about what you get when you're young. It starts at a young age, and you might shy away from those things, but you remember them. Those are the basics, you know, those principles and laws and things that are embedded in you that you never let go. So it depends on the parent and how they raise the child. Because I was told to get off the porch and go to somebody else's neighborhood, okay, to find out what was going on. So when I came to California, I was listening to country and western music and talking about skinny dipping and looking for Tower of Power, and people were looking at me like I was crazy. Going to operas, I love the opera, and it was a different kind of spin. But yet and still, I could do those things, but yet I didn't forget who I, you know, where I came from. As James Baldwin always says, if you know from which you came from, there can be no limits to where you can go. So that has been my thing all of my life. So most people say, well, you know, Miss Linda, somebody must have told you you couldn't do that, and that is why you're doing it. I said, you're absolutely correct. So I take it back to the young mind and what we're given as children that brings us up. We learn about hatred. If you respect you, you won't have a problem with it. But it's kind of hard because people, you know, they'll let you open that door and they'll stretch over the cross threshold and they'll walk through it and slam it in your face. Okay.
Right.
So
right.
Those type of individuals, you try to. You can deal with them because, you know, we can deal with anyone, but you don't have to break bread with them. You just need them in your life so you can see another type of person and then pass that on. But it's all about how you're taught as a child to how you move through life. You'll go through ups and downs, as you know, and have things that happen, but you never forget those basics. And it's those basics that pull you through when you say, they say, well, Linda, you just talk. I say, you know what? I had options. I could speak my piece as a child. They would say it and just deal with the consequences afterwards. And I would say, okay. So those things were like embedded in me. So I will have some dialogue with you, and I don't care. And I teach the young adults that I work with to always speak up and speak out. And as Aunt G always says, if you see it, you speak it, okay? You see it and you talk about it. And I tend to find people like that. So here you are on the line with us on Find It Friday. I found you, or we found each other. And then we have AG on here. So let me ask you, Edwina, what would you like to tell the young adults after the week experience in Houston and the things that are happening? Is anything you would like to give them a word of thought about?
Just keep on pushing, but stay true to the cause, stay true to yourself, and, you know, believe in what is right, you know. Believe in what is right, not just what's popular, but believe in what is right.
Right.
You know, and sometimes that takes a bit of investigation or research on one's part. You have to look into things because it's so easy to get caught up in the wrong things or back the wrong causes or back the wrong people. But take a little time, pull yourself back, look into situations, look into people, and then make your choices. But you've got to believe in yourself, you know?
Totally.
Believe.
Totally. Because if you don't, no one else is. Well, I know the time frame there, but I want to bring Angie in, and so she can share, and we can share the way we like to have fun. We might have to take number 1, 2, 3, but I want to bring Angie in, and I want to thank you so much. Please be cool down there. Angie, are you on the line with us?
Yeah, ladies. How y'all doing this evening? It's so wonderful to hear all the outstanding things that you've been discussing.
Hi,
it's an honor to meet you, Miss Edwina.
Oh, it's so much my pleasure to meet you, too.
I actually have something special to say to you.
When I think about you,
these are the things that come across my mind, that you are encouraging and enlightening. You're dependable and delightful. You're wise and a winner. You're important. You're naturally nice and amicable and adorable. And I'm so thankful that I have met you.
Okay. You want to make me cry, don't you? Right here on radio, you want me to cry. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
The truth sometimes brings happiness. Sometimes we go through life and win and forget, you know, how wonderful we are to people and how wonderfully we can come across to other people, even at a distance. And I know you're way over there in Texas, but I feel you here in California because it takes a person, all those characteristics, to take a moment and encourage someone to speak out and try to educate someone, to help someone, to have the kind of heart to add someone else into your world, to take time away from you or your loved ones. So, and Linda, you're the same. You know, you try to inculcate reaching out to other people, pulling people together and helping people think things through. And we need people to encourage others, and it's nice to know the two of you have that within yourselves for as long as you have, and to me, my little self, to come tagging along I just really am happy to be around such wonderful people, because that's what I pray for. I pray for more people that is exemplary in my heart and in my eyes, and then also in the eyes of those that admire them around them. Because if we all come together, I think, and more, and think more positive and find more beauty within other people, we'll pretty much put this darkness away. We're kind of like, man, not today. You know, next time someone wants to, you know, express themselves maybe in an angular way, or their dark side comes out, then that exists on this earth has a dark side. We would be lying not to say so. So it just what it does is it helps you appreciate the brightness when you see it, when you feel it, when you're around. And I always, for one, in my few years of life, you know, I've always liked to find the good in other people, because I already know there's bad. And I just wish that I want to try to spread that much as far as the land can reach it, and high as the sky can grab it, and preach it to the young ones, preach it to some of the old ones. We need to be reminded, you know, some of the ones, the middle ones that's not grown, or to the teenagers, you know, that are cross worlds. They're not grown. They're not a baby. But they're just trying to figure out where they can get in and fit in. And I want everyone to know there is a specific place. There's a place that we all can learn from each other and grow from each other. And when you want to reach out and get further education, like you, Linda, you know, you waited out later on in life, and you did that. You really did that. You walked all those stages. You kept your promise to your mother. That meant something to you. You know, we need to inculcate those same kind of drives in some of our youth. Don't give up. You know, don't give up.
No.
Don't give out. Don't let those be discouraged by the darkness or the sadness or the things that are holding us down, so to speak. This is one of the things I can appreciate by Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all the other ones that has put their life on the line for an easier pathway for our culture to be able to stand and have a voice and get in those books and learn and understand, because they used to tell us, no, you can't read, no, you can't write, no, you can't, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. And then when they find that we're standing up, we're having more voices, and we're taking time to get that education and apply it to our lives and try to even spread it even more so in the love of those who are having carrying problems with darkness. You know, we don't get things and awards and trophies and just to go, hey, pat myself on the back. We get them to better ourselves, and then we hope we can better those around ourselves. At least that's what I've seen in my lifetime. You know, you as an example, and you, Miss Edwina, I've heard wonderful things of your educational level, and I applaud you for that. And people you have mentored and educated in your lifetime, and even now, and yet who is waiting to get that knowledge off your shoulders that you protrude. I really am very honored and thank you.
Oh, thank
wow,
you.
Gina.
Wow.
Hey, G, you're going to make me cry over here. but you, I know your heart, and that's why you're on this line with Waking Up with Linda McShann and Edwina. And if you notice, most people that come on and care and share, they fall in the same path, because like minds and like hearts move alike. And most of the time, the persons that you surround yourself with are the persons that you attract. See, it's not it's what we attract. So when you work on your being to be the best that you can be and to stand into your greatness, but we go a step further. We take others with us. You know, a lot of people, like you say, step into their greatness and they, you know, that's whatever. I used to tell all my professors, they would look at me like I was crazy. I said, it's not for me. I say, I've been there, done that. It's not for me. I said, I'm going to leave it for my babies. I said, this is not a mission for me. This is a vow. And when it's a vow, it is what it is. And the young adults that be on those university campuses, the black African-American females. And I, by me being, I would pull them to the side and I would say, let me tell you something. This is what you do, this is what you do, and this is what you do. But I would also go and tell those presidents and those professors, excuse me, you guys about this, but you need to add two more quotes into your mission statement because I see something missing here. And that is how I either made friends or I made enemies. But since I was there, I was already there, and I carried enough grade-wise where you couldn't kick me out or fail me because I had was using my brain power, but I was also using my mouth, okay, because it has to be what it is. I would tell, and I love my, I would go talk to the presidents at the university, and I'd go sit and talk to them and introduce myself and tell them, you know what, I tell these African-American women on these campuses, you better be thick-skinned when you step up here, because if you're not, you will not last for two quarters. And they would look at me because they knew what I was saying. But that's why I'm here, sir, and that's why I'm appreciative that I can come and sit and talk with you and we can have some dialogue, which that type of dialogue is needed now. See, people are at a standstill because they don't know. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to say it. They don't understand it. A lot of them have fears. A lot of them have guilt and all of that stuff. So it takes persons like ourselves, and especially the storytellers. Like, I'm out the South, so I will tell them, I don't think you've ever seen that colored white water fountain and white and black water fountain. I don't think you had the opportunity to experience that, but I did. But I would never drink out of that fountain. I would drink out the white one because it was the clean one. And they would tell me, Lil N, you know you can't be drinking out that fountain. I put my hands on my hips and say, you know N's can't read no way, and take off running. So I had to leave Texas because of my attitude, because it's been like that since birth. It's in my blood, and I've learned how to spread it and take it. But what I am seeing now with the impatience of the young adults, and they are change makers, my prayer now is how can I, what can we do to wheel them in and give them the story. See, you're moving on your feel, your emotion. You're moving on what you're seeing. You didn't live it. If you lived it, then you'll understand how to deal with it. And before you can get it all the way that it has to be, you really need to know the story. Okay, you have to have that. That wisdom and that like, that's why Miyoshi and what's up. You got to have the elderly with the youth. That's that wisdom with that youth, because it has to blend. Because with everybody's in the same mindset, you don't have anybody to. I used to have a director. She said, I said, look, I'm gonna put on my suit, and I got to go up here and make this speech. She said, okay. She said, I'm going to put a rope on you. I said, you know what, so we can pull you back, Linda. I said, you know what, you better have a remote button on that sucker, because once I put on that suit, I'm out there. And she would just shake her head. Well, the young adults have that type of emotion, but they don't know which way to go with it. They are very expressive about their feelings. I've been listening. I've been watching. I hear them. I feel the hurt. I see it all. But it's a lot of emotion there. It's a lot of we can't wait there. It's a lot of stuff that I see. But after they know the entire story.
Yes, if not, you know.
What I like to say is the fear. You know, fear does two things. It fear can kill. Fear can give you the strength or the reason to go ahead and stand for something, or so you won't fall for nothing. So you know what I mean? It's like you gotta, like, you know, fear. You don't want it to kill you, because that's what it's been doing for so many centuries and years, even up to now, 2020. Fear is still killing us. Fear is still keeping us separated and segregated. Fear is still making it to making us just uncomfortable, just on a simple sight of someone's color of their skin. You know, fear is just the unknown. Fear is the uneducational of what the curiosities is that lay before us. You know, if you, instead of putting your fist out, why don't you put your arms out? You know, because you know when you're drowning, you don't, do you care what color reek pulls you up out that drown, or do you want that shark to come and bite you instead of getting that hand to pull you out? You got to think about these things. You know what I'm saying? When I realize these things, I mean, okay, so my heart ain't working. I need a heart transplant. Do I need to know the DNA of that black heart that's going in your ticker-tacker inside my soul that's going to keep me breathing? Oh, no. I'd rather die. You know, hey, you know what? People have been that vindictive to have said, instead of you sewing on another foot that's black, let me double trouble. You know, hey, that's okay. Way that you can find a way to survive in society and get along. We all, you know, get along. When you need some sugar, when you need some eggs, and that farm is too far to go, and you ain't got no gas, your car's broken down, oh, that black neighbor over there, if they rice and they sugar and their eggs ain't going to be good enough for you. But you'd rather starve you and your family. You see, you kind of stop thinking of what a fear turns you into than what you want to become or what you think you want to portray. Because fear could turn you into the biggest, ugliest monster that you could never, ever find your way back to sometimes until you lose someone or something of great magnitude has to happen. It was said, spoken clearly from the baby's mouth, Daddy changed the world. A six-year-old, you say in the scripture that you know that from the mouth of babes, were being led. So right there, you see, from that moment that she put that out there, the ticking started until that moment came and that sacrifice was given.
Yeah.
Did he deserve to be sacrificed in such a way? No, he did not. Did any of all of the colors of the rainbow that have been sacrificed over the years, even to this day, they're still going on to this day. How many tears is it going to take? How many fears is it going to take to break someone to know, you know what? Let me come back to reality. Let me see some real reasoning in what's going on. What's going on? Oh, it's okay. I come and clean your house. Oh, it's okay. I take care of your kids. You know what I'm saying? I'll lend a help. You know, you are beautiful. You are wonderful. We're going to inculcate all these wonderful qualities in these babies that we are touching, no matter what color they are, because what matters is that these babies grow up into human beings that can respect and stand on their own and love and respect others, no matter their color. If you become more people was born colorblind, you see, that's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm hoping. If color is such a problem for you, remove it. Become purple. There's a book out there called Let's All Become More Purple in Our Life.
It
was written by a white lady, but the book is profound and it speaks about all cultures coming together. Because if you have to look through life of eyes of color blindness, somebody with dignity, respect, that has done no harm to you, that has done nothing to you, taken nothing from you whatsoever. Nothing. We would step away. Okay, you want this? Okay, fine. You can come take the houses from. They took houses and property from us. We stepped away. Okay, there's enough land. Okay, you want this? We'll get pack up all of our cultures and leave. The Indians, what do we do? Get up, pack up, and leave. Okay, you want that? Okay. So how many times is okay enough for you? Would you just want to throw us out in the ocean? And then we got to just float on sticks until we build our own floatable world, living everybody on a yacht. Now, that sounds pretty cool, you know what I'm saying? Hey, we can just live in Europe. We can live all over the world then. Can't nobody keep you out. The water is the water. We, matter of fact, we can roll up in there. Hey, we just stir up the sea. Come on. Let's go on. We want to plop right here. Go on and move us up in here somewhere. You know, so we don't want to cause those things. But you know what? Let's get real bad. Let's go back to reality, you know, because really we don't want to. We can poke fun at some of these things, and then some of it is very funny. But the truth of the matter, I mean, because there's a lot of funniness in some of the iconic craziness that our brothers and sisters
keep them kind.
Put out there.
You have to laugh
you got
keep them kind.
You got to.
Yeah.
Tears of joy is always the best thing. I had somebody laughing. Say, I'm gonna tell you a little story. You know, I was in the store you know, and I think, you know, the awareness is really, really out there now. So, you know, you find yourself in situations where you're almost like the only, you know, brownie in the bunch. And I was the target. And I have to say, you know, the target I was at was the music was just hitting point. You know, just, hey, all right. So I was every lane I was going through, I was just, oh, hey, I was getting it. I was dropping it. Oh, hey, move to the next one, slide over there. What? I was getting through the stuff. And then people was looking, it's like, oh, you get it, girl. I said, shoot, might as well. It's the only club I can go to right now. Hey, Zay, what's up, Tarjay? What? Hey, I'm waiting for the next hit, baby. I don't have to go home. I can sit up here and dance all the way until it's time to lights out, baby. Come on. Bring me the next hit. Do you take requests, baby? Do you take requests? You know, they was just trying to, you know, because you got to, and they better be glad if they don't have no way to change, you know, try on clothes. Because I would have been changing into gowns and everything, clowning around. Hey, I'm at the prom now, y'all. What?
Hey, you had Target. You could have bought the gowns.
That's what I'm saying. I would have been trying on my gown, walking through the store. I'm trying this on, boo. And when I'm done with it, I'm going to take it off, put it back on the rack. You know what I'm saying? I'm walking around what I gotta call it, but you can turn things into what you need. This is my mansion, baby. Welcome to Tarjay, baby. Anything you need to know, you just let me know. I'll tell you what section of my house you can go. You know, so you gotta really, get it. And then people, and then, oh, this was really funny. This happened to me in another store, and I'm gonna wrap it up on this one because this is hilarious. So I'm in the line, you know, and it was a white lady, and she was in between, like you couldn't tell she was in line. I thought I stayed back and let her figure it out. She's finished shopping, whatever. Give her a few more minutes, and she don't go up too many spaces. Now I was gonna, you know, ask a question. So then she just gonna went on and pushed her basket on up, and I guess she didn't know how I was gonna take it. You know, oh my God, I just pushed my basket in front of this. This lady, and she's black. Okay. So it's just so much going on nowadays. You know, just hey, you know, I had to. I'm so glad I got my fix now. I got my Ross. It was Ross. I got my Ross fix. Got all my shampoos and everything I needed, you know. Oh, my God. I was just like, oh, look at my hair. Don't look at my hair. Oh, my God. Ooh, people just look at me. Oh, now they're just talking about my hair. I mean, she just went into all the 2-minute, 3-minute spell, you know. My hair. My hair has been killing. Oh, my God. And she had like 4 or 5 bottles of shampoo and conditioner. I said, okay. You got your fix on. That's good. You know, jump around. You know, a lot of the shelves are coming off empty now. I see why people getting their fixes on, like you got yours on. So, yeah, go on home and, you know, enjoy your fixes. And she says, okay, so, all right, so, we're good. You're good. You know, just keep, you know, I think the line just moved up. You know, you can move up now, you know. I can do my line shopping now, unless you had anything else you want to say. You know, it was just, I said, you can't see it, but I do have a smile on under this mask because you're hilarious. So, you know, it's funny, you know, but it's good to see, you know. You know, right. Hey, I was getting parking spaces, backed up. Hey, go right ahead. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's about love.
Go ahead. And it makes you feel, you know, my heart felt so good. You know, I was at the club, at Target, you know, and then, you know, people just want to find a way to reach out and talk. Even on some of the talk shows, there's more cultures, different cultures coming out, you know, saying, hey, you know, I'm trying, I'm helping people, reaching out, donating, trying to find ways, what can I do? It's really cute, and it's really, really wonderful and beautiful, but it's really simple, you see.
It should have been like that all along.
Respect.
And
treat me with dignity and respect.
Yes,
I appreciate the money, donations, what, you know, but you know what, really, if you really want to know what people of culture really just need and want, it's just, hey, smile. Hi. Don't be grabbing your purses because I'm standing by you. Don't be looking me up and down front. And don't be that wetty chatty up in Torrance parking lot, up in Torrance Park, talking to different coaches, walking up to them, just bad mouth. Go back where you come from. Go back. Oh, yeah. There's a lady chanting out there. White lady just going went mad. Just want to walk up to people. I will get people to beat you up. You heard about that, right? I'm like, that's not the way to go. And I'm thinking she done snapped. You know what I'm saying? She couldn't. Her spirit snapped, so somebody.
Yes.
I just hope she gets pulled in.
If I might go in as number three here, because I knew when we got on the phone we was going to have to take a number. So I'm going to come in as number three. And number three say, you know, the key to any resolution or any solution or any change is dialogue. And nothing can happen without dialogue. Dialogue is the most important thing because I find that I move around. I call myself the United Nations, so I might be over here in Little Armenia on Monday and over in wherever. So I go in and I love Lama June. So that's an Armenian pizza. So when I go in the bakery, when I used to go in the bakery, I say, give me 15 of them. And they turn around and look at me, right? Yes, I said, I'm over here and I've been eating Lama June for years. But I find out that different cultures, if you have dialogue with them about what do you like to do on your holidays? Would people like to talk about their culture? And that's the best way to start anything is to have dialogue. You know, over here is the United Nations. That's what we call ourselves in the House of the Happy.
But you have to have an open heart.
You must have an open heart because you have to be able to go in. So with Gina laughing and dancing and going on the red carpet in Target, I wish I would have been there. I'd have put some of those. I'd have put a backdrop up for you and roll that carpet out for you.
We would have had a tea party if all three of us were there. Oh, heck, your hats on too, tilted to the side.
They would have wanted to kick us out because it would have been insane.
Oh no, they wouldn't have been uncles. We would have been selling, honey, because we were modeling. We score modeling.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I guess we got the lounge model for real, back in the day.
That's
really
true.
Yeah. And what was so cute? Those white ladies was buying those clothes off of her for real. You know, it was nice.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that she experienced that. You know, and in our culture, we really had a lot of we really paid a lot of ways. We got the modeling down. We got basketball now.
We
got sports all the way around.
Yeah. We'll make a list. Yeah, because I was listening to
Erica.
We've
invented a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Erica Badu in the music industry, and she spoke on that. You know, it's just a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what's exciting me is that people are listening, they want to know because it's time to know. It's nothing new for us.
Yeah.
We wrote it, we did it, we started it, and we've gotten through it. So the most important thing that we have to remember is to, like, keep ourselves grounded so that we can grab, as I call these youngins, my change agents, okay, and be the example for them because they're going to do it their way. They have to do it their way, but when they get the true story, we're the storytellers, and it's nothing like implementing anything without knowing the whole story. See, you just going half-cocked on what you feel now, but we have to know the history. You have to know from which this came. See, we talk about the plantation, the slavery. They don't ever talk about all that royalty, them kings and queens. We was kings and queens before all of that, okay? We come from royalty, and that is
history.
And that's why don't just stop there. Just don't talk about Jim Crow. Just don't talk about the slave. Let's go back before then when my great granddaddy took all his kids off the plantation and went and we own a city, okay? That's the kind of bloodline I come from. So I've had to share that with people. I said, you know, everybody wasn't a slave. Some people had slaves.
Nope.
Did you know that? And they look at you like you're crazy,
absolutely.
But didn't treat them.
Right.
They
had land
treated
and everything.
Family.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So take it all the way back. Just don't stop it right there, because there's a story before that. Okay? And and that's why you had so many that didn't get here, because they said, the hell with you, I'll jump off this ship before I let you see me. And it ain't going to happen.
Right.
I'm not going. And that's the ocean. So many, and why we cannot get along or stay together. All other cultures can live in families of 10. We won't be by ourselves because of all that restriction on them slave ships. This stuff goes deep, and you have to take it back to the beginning. So until they know the whole story, then they can move out correctly with those emotions. And the persons that don't know what to say or don't be trying to be nice now, because it's already done. If we was worried about you being nice, it would have been, but it's not about that. It's about, let's bring it all together where it should be, because as Aunt G say, we're to live on this earth together, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm seeing the sea of humanity from George Floyd. Thank you so much. That brick out of that brick canyon, that he has brought it together, and it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to die out, because it's just time for a new beginning. It's never going to be normal. It's the new beginning.
So maybe what we can do, ladies, if you will, maybe let's do that. I got this good feeling in my heart came up. I got to share this. So hot off the press, let's put out there a piece of Black history. Let's teach.
Well,
and matter of fact, you know, there's a lady that has, I don't know if you've heard about the lady that has all these artifacts and things. She has a little art gallery and things that she's, you know, been going to different schools and whatnot, and I think she's going to do something where it can be in a museum, wherever. This is really a history of Black history that she's kept along with for many years. Yes, ma'am.
I don't want to stop you, but we going to hold that, because I've already connected up and spoke with somebody, and these are true historians. So you need a historian.
Oh, nice.
You need the ones that know the know. When I took a class, I had a history, African-American history teacher. I've had several.
Nice.
And she said, okay, we're going to talk about the Black Panthers. And you know what I told her?
Nice.
I said, you know what? I can't take your class. She said, why? I said, because then you'll know who I really am, okay?
Yeah.
And it was so funny.
Yeah.
But no, there's some professors out there that can bring it. They know it. And I'm pretty sure that we'll talk about this. We don't want to put our institution out there, our institute out there today. But it's something that we could work on. But it's going to take the young and the old and the in-between to get it. And everybody that say they can do it, they can't. They just going on what they heard. You need the true storytellers. You need the ones that was in it, doing it, and was about it. And the ones that are still here to tell those stories are the ones that need to be putting it out there, because they going to come from true and pure. I had a class, and we're going to wrap it up. I had a class, and this was a book. And whatever this story was in this book, it angered me. And I walked up to the professor. I said, you know, you need to remove that out this book. I said, because she don't know what she's talking about. She's going on something her granddaddy told her, and it needs to be removed. That professor was so angry at me, I said, remove it, okay, because she don't know what she's talking about, and I'm not paying money to read this lie, okay? So those type of things are circulating. So when you get the true historians out there, the true people that can sit and talk to you and know, they know not on what the news said, not on what they heard, not no, they actually know, and it's quite a few that can do it, and it's opening up where it's time for it. So we'll talk about that later. We don't want to give away our institute here, but it can be done, and if it's anybody that can steer it up and get them woke, it's us. So I'll get on the move and
okay.
contact
who
I know.
That's
you
great.
Contact
okay.
who you know. You want to get the ones, not no artifacts, not no. You want to get the ones that know that they know, and they can sit down and name it.
You can take that to the bank.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had a professor. He had us draw the whole map of Africa and name every river. I didn't know Africa had so many rivers, but that he's a bad guy. And he would come in the classroom, and the first thing he would do is pull out a little plaque and put it on the desk, and it said, "Think." Okay? Oh, he was bad. So I will contact him because I need him. He is one that I would love to sit and talk to because these babies, these change agents, you can't change nothing unless you know what you're changing, okay? You cannot, you have to know what for. You can't just go on a whim. You can't just go on a feeling. You got to dig deep. And this is, what do they say? Oh, the businesses, they've been waiting 10 weeks. They've been waiting 10 weeks before they open. I said, well, let's do some calculation here. What about 10 times 10 times 100 times 100 times 100 times 100? Now, please don't ask what they're doing. You should be asking why. And if you find out the why, you'll understand the what. So that's as far as I can go.
And the how.
But I get it. I get a little emotional when I get into that subject, and, you know, we're full of love over here, and we have big hearts, but we also true to our being. So this was fun Friday, and this was Find It Out Friday. So listeners out there, you have got an earful coming from Texas, coming from Angie, and coming from Texas and the United Nations, okay? But that is what it's about. We are going to take care of our babies out there. Make these changes. Keep everybody woke, okay? Keep everybody thinking of love and having dialogue, because that, you can't change anything. It's like the sensitivity. No, it's diversity and inclusion. And that's a whole, because you have to change your mindset out there. It's a mindset that has to be changed. You can't give nobody no book and give them 10 hours of course and expect them to change. You got to change that mindset. And that's where it comes in. In order to change the mindset, you have to get down into the deep of it and have someone that know the deep of it.
One day at a time.
You have to do it. But my thing is with you guys, I'm going to say it again, we done had some fun on here. They done got another side of waking up with Linda McChann, because we're about education. Stress and unification and the importance of collaboration. That's what it's all about. And this is what we're exercising here. This is what we do. We are so appreciative that all of you guys are listening to us out there. And those that understand, thank you. Those that don't understand, we'll have to help you get there. And just join us. You know, stay connected, stay safe, stay woke, and more so, stay strong. Because it's going to take a lot of strength across the board for all of these things to change. And on that note, ladies, I'm going to say good evening, Edwina. I will be speaking with you on G. Please have a great weekend. And thank you so much for making me cry over here.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for the beautiful words, Linda. Thank you for having me on. Well, thank you, Edwina, for coming, and you will be back again.
Thank you, ladies, for being wonderful. God bless.
Thank you, Angie, for loving us. We love you.
Yes.
We love all of you out there. Have a great weekend, everyone.